This is the Everything Financial Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Glad you decided to tune in today. Today, we're going to talk with one of the foremost experts in the country on how to collect and get the most from your Social Security benefits. Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff will be joining me momentarily. He will be with me for the entire podcast this week to talk about the recent changes that were signed into law that may affect how you can collect your Social Security benefits. We'll talk about it in great detail on today's program. And that let me remind you before I get to my discussion with Professor Kotlikoff that if you would like to stay apprised as to our opinion as to what's going on in the markets and the economy, we do have a free newsletter that you can subscribe to. It is titled Portfolio Watch, and all you have to do to subscribe is go to the website, yourportfoliowatch.com. The website, again, yourportfoliowatch.com. Joining me once again on the Everything Financial Radio program is Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. Among his many accomplishments are a recent New York Times bestseller, Get What's Yours, and it's all about how to maximize your Social Security. He is also the founder of the company Maximize My Social Security. You can learn more about that company and the work there at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. And after the recent Social Security collection changes, Professor Kotlikoff has written a number of articles dealing with the topic, and that will be our topic of conversation with him today. And, Professor, welcome back to the program.
Great to be back with you, Dennis.
So, Professor, in a nutshell, it seemed like in what was very quick action by Washington, we now have an alteration, if you will, or an amendment in the way certain folks can collect their Social Security benefits. Can you explain?
Well, yes. Yeah, so the government, in truly undemocratic fashion, had one or two people do a hatchet job on the Social Security system and radically changed a number of provisions so that there are some grandfathering provisions that were put into the bill at the last minute. I think I was told by people at Social Security that they were actually put in after I wrote a column about how bad the proposed legislation was, that it was going to just start cutting people's checks in 6 months. So they quickly realized that that could cost them votes, and but anyway, the basic story is that certain strategies for collecting benefits, in particular a strategy called file and suspend, whereby one spouse can collect a full spousal benefit on the other person's record, and that's also true for divorced spouses. If you were married for 10 or more years, you could collect a full spousal benefit on your ex's record between full retirement age. This was always before between full retirement age and 70. And why would you want to do that? Well, you could collect that full spousal benefit while still letting your own retirement benefit grow. So that was a rationale for wanting to do that. And it could allow a lot of people to have some money to buy them over while they waited till 70 to collect their maximum benefit. And the benefit you can get at 70 is 76% higher after inflation than it is at 62. So we really do want to encourage everybody to wait till 70 if possible to collect their retirement benefit. Not everybody, but most people, because it's not optimal for everybody to do this. But it really depends on your maximum age of life and whether you can whether there's benefits for family relatives, family members that depend on you taking your benefit early. But in any case, they radically eliminated this file and suspend strategy for younger people because, again, there's some people that are grandfathered. And indeed, if you're talking about a married couple, one of the spouses has to be 66 by May 1st, that's to say before May 1st of next year, and go into Social Security and actually file for their retirement benefit and suspend its collection. Or if they've already started taking a retirement benefit, they and are going to be 66 in this time frame before May 1st, then they can spend their retirement benefit, and then their spouse can ask for a full spousal benefit, provided that spouse is 62, turned 62 on or before January 1st of this year, which is just around the corner. So there are these two grandfathering clauses that interconnect, and that's in the case of married couples. If you're divorced, let's say you're both 62 right now, so you've met that criteria of being 62 before this January 1st, or on this January 1st, well, in that case, you can reach full retirement age, and you can file for just your spouse benefit and wait till 70 to collect your retirement benefit. So you've been grandfathered. So actually there's, from what I understand, I'm not sure this is perfectly legal, so I wouldn't take my word for it, but I believe that people can, who are married, who are 62, or one might be 63 and the other 62, or two could be 63, they could get divorced at 64, be divorced for 2 years, and both collect on each other, and then at 70, say, why don't you get remarried, and they would pick up, you know, if they're very high-income workers, they could pick up maybe $120,000 from that decision to get divorced and to get full divorcee spousal benefits on each other if they were married for 10 or more years when they did this. And the reason you have to do it at 64 is you have to be divorced for 2 years before you can collect on the ex's work record. So there is a strategy to, even for married couples, to get full spousal benefits, even more full spousal benefits, but they'd have to get divorced, and they'd have to be 62, they have to turn 62 by or on January 1st of this year.
Professor, we have maybe 3 minutes left in this segment. Let me just go back for our listeners that maybe aren't familiar with the file and suspend strategy, which has its days numbered. Can you just briefly explain what exactly that strategy is, maybe by giving an example? I think there's some of our listeners that may not be familiar with it.
Sure, and I just want to say that my company, software company, I run this on the side, more or less as a charitable endeavor, because I don't get paid by my company. But we have a program called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It's $40 at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, and it can help you figure out exactly what to do with. So you don't need to memorize everything I say here on the spot, but the basic file and suspend strategy is this: that in order to get your relatives, your child, or your spouse a benefit off of your work record, you have to have filed for your retirement benefit. But under the old law, you could file for your retirement benefit, and if you did that either before 60, your full retirement age, which is now 66, or at your full retirement age, once you reached full retirement age, suspend your retirement benefit, and then let it continue to grow through age 70 and restart it. And if you between full retirement age 66 and 70, it grows 32%. So the idea is, well, look, I gotta file for my retirement benefit in order to activate benefits for my kids. It could be a disabled child or younger children who are still in school, or a spouse who's can collect on my work record. So in order to do that, I have to file, but I could then also have the option of suspending my own benefits so that I could let it keep growing. Meanwhile, my spouse, when she reached full retirement age, could collect a full spousal benefit based on my work record, that would let her wait till 70 to collect her own retirement benefit, or at least give the household more money to get by through age 70. So this was the file and suspend strategy. Now, I want to really say very quickly that they haven't eliminated file and suspend under the new law. For example, if you take your benefit at 62, maybe you're age 60 right now, so you're not grandfathered at all. and you're single, to keep it simple, you reach age for retirement age, 66 and something, you can suspend your retirement. You can take your retirement benefit, let's say at 62, take it early, then realize that 66 or for retirement age that you really can get by without it for 4 years or so. So you then suspend it, and you start it up again at 70. The only thing you cannot do under the new law, if you're not grandfathered, is to provide benefits to children and to spouses on your work record. And that's a change in the law that's quite dramatic. During your suspension period, you cannot provide anybody benefits based on your suspended benefit. So you have to, in order to provide them spouse or child benefits, you can't suspend if you're not grandfathered. You have to be actively collecting your benefit. And that's going to force a lot of people to take their benefit not at 70 but earlier in order to get their spouse and children benefits. And we can go through some examples of that.
This is a very special program. We're chatting today with Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, who is the founder of MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com and also the best-selling author of Get What's Yours, and that's a book on how to maximize your Social Security benefits. We're chatting today with a professor about some of the changes that have taken place with regard to collecting Social Security benefits. And, Professor, as we ran out of time in the last segment, you were explaining that, you know, one can still suspend Social Security benefits at your normal retirement age. Your benefits will then grow at 8% annually. However, you can't have a spouse or other family member collect on your work record while the benefits are suspended. And I guess I would...
If you're not grandfathered, if you haven't done the suspension before or on April 29th of this next year of 2016.
So let me go back on that just to clarify. So if you turn 66 before May 1 of this year, and your spouse will be, I think you said, 62 by January 1 of 2016, then theoretically, if I'm 66 in January and my spouse is 62 in January, I could file and suspend, which would then preserve the spousal benefit for my spouse when my spouse reaches age 66. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, she has to be 66 by January 1st, not like January 2nd. Not even a nanosecond after January 1st. Now, why January 1st? Well, Social Security treats you, if you're born today, they treat you as having been born actually the day before today, yesterday. So that's just a crazy provision in Social Security's rules. It's basically you need to be 66 by the end of the year, but they count January 1st as being 66 in this year. You have to be 62 by the end of this year in order to get to get out from under what's going to happen for people that are younger than that. Namely, they're going to be deemed, when they reach full retirement age, they could say, look, I'd like to get my spousal benefit. My husband might be collecting his retirement benefit, so actually collecting it, so therefore I'm eligible to collect the spousal benefit on his work record. But then what's going to happen is they're going to force you to take both your spousal benefit and your retirement benefit at the same time. They'll just give you the larger of the two benefits, and that's called deeming. And so if you take one benefit, you're deemed to be or inferred to be taking the other and vice versa. So that's a nasty piece of work that used to just prevail between 62 and full retirement age. Now they've extended it between 62 and all the way up to 70, so that, unless you're 66, turn 66 by or on this January 1st, New Year's Day, you are not going to be able to collect just one benefit and let the other one grow. You're going to have to take both benefits at the same time, and then they'll just give you the larger of the two, and therefore they'll wipe out one of the two. So that's, for a lot of people, this has taken away $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $60,000, and for people that are going to be 10 years married before they got divorced, but are not going to be 66 by January 1st, they're going to, the two of them together will lose potentially up to $120,000 collectively. So this is a significant change. Now, I want to emphasize that the big gains from Social Security optimization are not really from this ability to get a full spousal benefit. It's really from being a patient, from realizing that your benefit, your retirement benefit, is going to be 76% higher if you start taking it at 70 than if you start taking it at 62. Now, almost all of us take our benefits too early. We find in the data that only 2% of workers wait till 70 to take their retirement benefit. 80% take their retirement benefit before or at their full retirement age. Now, a lot of people are kind of forced to take the benefits as soon as they can get them because they've lost their job, maybe due to age discrimination or just health issues, and they have no other option, they have no other money, they haven't saved for whatever reason, and they just have some need to have something to live on, so they have no option. But there's and that might be 20% of the workers, but the other 80%, there's things you can do. You can keep working, you can use your retirement account money to get by, you can borrow on your house potentially, you can borrow money from your brother, you can downsize your home, you can move to a state where the taxes are lower, maybe you're zero. State sales taxes and income, well, state income taxes perhaps would be lower, zero if you move to like Texas or Washington State, for example. So there are ways to try and get by so that you can let your Social Security benefit keep growing. And as you said, Dennis, it's growing 8% a year between full retirement age and 70, the longer you can defer it. And that's not compounded. It's not 8% times 8% times 8. It's just 8 times 4 years, or 32% higher if you wait between full retirement age and 70. And between 62 and 70, it's growing at about 7% a year. So altogether, the benefit is 76% higher right now for those waiting till 70 rather than taking it at 62. And I'll just give you an example.
Professor, I'm coming up on a break here. I'm going to have to hold that example over, if we could, for the next segment. We're right up against it here. We're chatting today with Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. You can get more information about the Social Security changes at his website, MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. I'd also encourage you to check out his best-selling book, Get What's Yours, on the same topic. We'll continue our conversation with Professor Kotlikoff when Everything Financial Radio returns. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Everything Financial Radio program. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. We have a very special program today if you're just joining us. There were significant changes made as to how one might collect Social Security benefits, and we're chatting today with the expert, Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. His company is Maximize My Social Security, and he's written a number of articles on the topic as well. You can check those out at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. And, Professor, as we were running out of time in the last segment, you were about to give an example. And before we get back to that, let me just again, for our listeners that are just joining us, clarify those grandfather dates. If you're 66 prior to what age, you can still file and suspend. And could you just review that for the listeners that might be joining us?
Well, if you're 66 on or by May 1st of 2016, you need to go into Social Security. You don't have to go into Social Security. You have to go in at least on April 29th, but you should go in before then and say, I want to file and suspend, if filing suspending is the optimal thing to do. It can be the wrong thing to do. So I want to emphasize that it's not something that everybody should do, and you really need to have proper guidance, and our MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com software can give that to you. By the way, the name of our company is actually not Maximize My Social Security, but it's actually called economicsecurityplanning.com. That's our main website, and we have other tools to help people with their financial lives, including a service for divorcing couples and a full lifetime financial planning software program that incorporates Social Security as well. So, but let me give you a couple examples of trying to emphasize two points I've made before. One is that why people might be induced to take their benefits earlier under the new law. So take my secretary. She's 64. She's got a disabled child, and her husband hasn't been working because he's been staying home to watch the child. She works 80 hours a week, partly at Boston University and partly over at Harvard. at their faculty club. Now, she was planning under the old law to wait till full retirement age to 66, file and suspend, so that her husband, who's the same age, could collect the full spouse benefit, and she'd then have enough money to go from working 80 hours a week to working 40 hours a week, be able to spend more time with her disabled child, and not kill herself. Now, she's not able to do that. In order for her to get a spousal benefit for her husband, because she's not going to be able to file and suspend before or on April 29th, she's not going to be 66, she has to, for her to get a benefit for her husband, and she could also get a benefit for her child, a disabled child benefit, she'd have to do the following, which is to take her retirement benefit at full retirement age. And that's when the earnings test also ends. So now she's going to be induced to take her benefits earlier than would be optimal. And the entire family, three people living on a modest income, are going to be forced to live on, you know, even less income for the rest of their lives. She could live to 100, her husband could live to 100, her son could live for a long time, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, close to a century of years of people being alive on much less income, because some do-gooders in the dead of night in some back room of Congress decided that they knew best how to change Social Security law and who was being overly helped and who didn't need these benefits. So they took a hatchet to Social Security, and that's the result of that's what we call democracy. They presented their new law as part of the budget bill as a fait accompli to members of Congress who had no time to examine it before they had to actually vote on it. I wrote about it in one of my columns, that are all of which are posted on MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. These are columns I write weekly for PBS NewsHour. The column I wrote after the bill was made public, before it was voted on, pointed out that this the way they drafted it was going to cut benefits for people that were already receiving them. And sure enough, Congress realized that that was going to cost them votes, so they quickly amended the law. But they didn't do anything to help my secretary, who's you know, in much worse shape now, thanks to this do-gooder or set of them who went after Social Security with a hatchet. And AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons, fully endorsed this new bill. And I've been calling for a national boycott of AARP as a result. I think they don't deserve to have the title that they have. They're not an association of anybody except profiteers who are trying to sell people products. The other thing, this example I want to give you is, let's take a very high-income couple that's currently age 60. They were earning above the ceiling, the maximum taxable ceiling, since age 22, let's say. They're now 60. They were high-paid lawyers. They have retired. They were thinking about taking their Social Security benefits at 62. Well, right now, under the new law, they're not going to be grandfathered, but under the new law, they would have a present value benefit, lifetime benefits of about $1.2 million from Social Security. If they do the optimal thing, which is to both wait till 70, not to take the benefits at 62, the present value of their benefits will be $1.55 million. In other words, $1,550,000. So they will pick up $350,000 by optimizing. That's what our software would tell them to do, to wait till 70, unless they're absolutely sure that they're going to die at 75 or something, or a pretty young age. So, yes, they have lost about $50,000, $60,000 in a spousal benefit, but the majority of the gains from optimization they haven't lost. So they've lost about 13% of the gains from optimization under the new law, but the vast majority of the gains really come from being patient, from taking Social Security's tremendous deal, which is to be patient and let your benefit grow, and then start taking it. Because we have to worry about the worst-case scenario, which is we live to the maximum age of life, like 100, and have to pay for ourselves that entire time. For all those years, we have to cover our costs, health costs, food costs, housing costs, all these costs, and we could be retired for longer than we actually worked. So that's the catastrophic insurable case. And what you want to do is make sure you go into this period of time with the highest stream of income coming at you. And that's why you want to wait, give up taking benefits early, which is really paying a price, paying a premium for a much higher stream of income later. And that's really buying, in effect, you're buying an extra annuity from Social Security by being patient. And you're doing so on fantastically good terms, even if you're the most, let's say, hard-nosed Wall Street investment banker, and you think that you can make a killing on the stock market. You'd really be stupid to pass up this opportunity because you can't beat this. It's the market rate of return on inflation-indexed long-term bonds is about 1%, maybe 1.2% right now. And Social Security has a built-in rate of return that's inflation-indexed of 3%. So, you know, we're talking about a deal, kind of the deal of the century here in terms of the financial markets. You can't get anything like this in the financial markets or in the insurance system. So those two examples, the fact that Social Security's new law is forcing people to take the benefits early that where they shouldn't, it's hurting people that are very low income as well as hurting middle class people. Yes, it's hurting some rich people, but it's disproportionately hurting poor middle class people. It's anything but a progressive move, and it was all endorsed by AARP, and it was all done with no democratic oversight, no public hearings, no discussion, just bingo. A couple days later, it was there, and it's changed the strategies that people have to adopt. So people really do need to use expert software. I think we do have the most accurate software. I'm saying this not from a position of trying to pad my wallet, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, I don't take money from my company. I don't take a salary. I just try and sell our software at the lowest possible price and employ excellent American engineers and other people, customer support people, to help other people and to navigate this this very important source of retirement income. And but you can't really necessarily figure all this stuff out on your own. And the folks at Social Security are more likely, in my mind, to hurt you than help you if you ask them any questions. I think you really need to go in there armed with knowing exactly what you want to do. Tell them what to do. Don't ask them what to do. And the combination of our software, this book that I wrote, co-authored with Paul Solomon, who's a PBS NewsHour economics correspondent, Phil Mueller, who's a personal finance columnist, called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maximizing Your Social Security Benefits. That's really about the law, the old law. As today I'm revising the book with my colleagues. We'll have a new version out in May or so. But I think if you read the old book, the current book, Get What's Yours, you can get it at your local bookstore, Amazon. And if you also read the columns that I wrote about the new law starting November 1st, and they're posted at maximizemysocialsecurity.com, you'll get a pretty good sense of what you need to do as a combination. Well, you get a pretty exact sense if you run the software.
We're chatting the entire hour with Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. He is the co-author of the best-selling book, Get What's Yours. It's all about maximizing Social Security. And we're chatting with him today about some of the recent Social Security changes that have taken place. And, Professor, in the last segment, we were talking about, and you were emphasizing the importance of potentially being patient to collect your Social Security benefits. And you've mentioned a couple times on today's program that benefits are 76% greater at age 70 versus age 62. And a term that's often used, at least by lay people when they're trying to determine when to collect their Social Security benefits, is something called their break-even point. So for a lot of folks, if you look at collecting at 62 versus age 70, at what point do you break even for a lot of folks in terms of inflation-adjusted dollars and in actual benefits collected?
Okay, that's a good question. The first of all, we're talking about the retirement benefit being 76% higher. Your spousal benefit won't grow any higher after you reach full retirement age, nor will your widow's benefit. And for some people, your widow's benefit will actually stop growing even before you reach full retirement age because your deceased ex or your deceased husband took their retirement benefit early. So, again, software helps work all this stuff out, exactly what to do, and deals with all these details. But the question of the break-even is not really, to tell you the truth, Dennis, appropriate in this context. We wouldn't ask, am I going to break even on a car insurance policy or a medical insurance policy? Or am I going to break even on a homeowner's policy? Can I play the, you know, break even is about kind of playing the odds. So think about a homeowner's policy. How many houses do I have? If I had 1,000 houses, I could play the odds. Some will burn down, some won't. And I could think about whether I should self-insure or insure myself, insure each house and pay a premium, pay a load, a commission to the insurance company, and which strategy would break even or would be better. Would the two options just break even, or would one be better? And almost surely I would not buy any insurance of any kind from anybody if I really thought about break even. Here we're talking about longevity insurance. Social Security is an insurance company, happens to be a public insurance company, but it's still a public insurance company. They're selling an insurance product. It's called longevity insurance. It's annuities that they're, in effect, selling to us or providing to us. And so we only have one life, just like we only have one house, most of us. So we only have one time we're going to die. We can't play the odds because we're only going to die once. So the whole idea of break-even, it was kind of looking at things as averages of when will I die, what's the chance of dying, that's completely irrelevant. We have to look at the worst-case scenario. Our house burns down. We total the car. We get cancer. In this context, we live to 100. The worst-case scenario is what we have to focus on. That's what our Social Security software focuses on when it does its calculations. And the worst-case scenario is you live to your maximum age of life. Now, for years, Social Security, which was chock full of actuaries who don't seem to understand anything to do with economics, they were telling people who walked into the office, look, it's a break-even whether or not you take your benefits early or not. Yes, they'll be higher, but there's a chance you're going to die between now and 70 if you wait. So, or you might die right after you start collecting at 70. So, therefore, take your benefits right now because if you die, you'll have lost them. Now, think about it, Dennis. If you don't take your benefits right now and you die, where are you going to be? You're going to be in heaven. You're not going to need money because heaven is heavenly. You're going to get everything you want handed to you if you were good. And I assume you were good at Dennis. So you don't have to worry about dying when it comes to your finances because if you're dead, you do not need money. Remember everything we know. I don't know of any religion that says you need to go into the grave with a ton of money. Maybe the ancient Egyptians put some gold into their graves, but in general, the modern religions aren't suggesting that we load up on money, take a whole stack of bills into the coffin with us. So I'm trying to be graphic here to press the point. The real concern is not dying young, financially speaking. The real concern is living to 100 and eating cat food. And that's why we have to think about this from the perspective of the insurance of the longevity risk. And that's one of the key things we focus on in our book, Maximize My Social Security Get What's Yours, the Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Benefits. We're focused on trying to get people's heads turned around with respect to how to think about Social Security. It's not about an investment. It's not about breaking even. It's about insuring yourself against eating Friskies when you're 100 or Purina cat chow. And from everything I understand, it's not great food to eat. Well, I don't know. My cat, we've got a cat who seems to like Friskies, so maybe I don't want to jump on Friskies, but he's very happy with Friskies.
All right. Well, Professor, we have... I think exhausted our time for today. If you could take just 30 seconds and let the listeners know how to access your software, that would be a good place to end the program.
Great. Yeah, I would urge everybody, for $40, you can run our software. If you're a financial planner, it costs $200 a year. So the licenses are $40 and $200, depending on your, if you're a professional or not. It's called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It deals with the new law. It deals with the disabled, with disabled workers, deals with disabled children. It deals with all the different provisions in Social Security. It's really incredibly comprehensive, and it can mean the difference between a lot of money and a little money from dealing with Social Security. For most people, Social Security is the first or second most important retirement asset. If you're interested in more detailed or more comprehensive financial planning, you should buy our ES Planner software at esplanner.com. And you can find out about all these products at our main website, which is called economicsecurityplanning.com. Or you can just Google my name, find my website, which is kotlikoff.net. There's a link to my company's website. And as I said, we have a lot of different products to help people, all of which are quite inexpensive. So, for example, we have a divorce service, which is very, very inexpensive to help people analyze proposed divorce settlements so that they don't go to war with each other. And, you know, which spouse is going to have a higher living standard, or does the settlement kind of get close to them having the same living standard? Is it fair? And only sophisticated software can help you figure that out and not just fight over things you don't know about. So why fight over, you know, he's getting a better deal than I am. I'm giving her too good a deal. Well, there's ways to figure this out neutrally, that where you can actually get the answer. And we've got the software to do that.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Our guest today has been Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. And, Professor, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Dennis. Anytime.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to this week's podcast. Let me remind you that we do have an additional resource if you would like to become a subscriber to our Portfolio Watch newsletter, in which every week we look at and analyze what's going on in the markets, what it might mean for you and your money. And we also give you our economic commentary. All you have to do to subscribe is just visit the website, yourportfoliowatch.com. Let us know your name and email address, and we will be glad to give you a free subscription. That newsletter is delivered every Monday. And again, the website is yourportfoliowatch.com. That's our podcast for this week. Hope you got something you can use. We'll talk again next week. Bye.